It's Prime Cut with Sean Salisbury
and Steve Buehnen.
Prime Cut, Salisbury, Buehnen.
Prime Cut on Yahoo Sports Radio. Steve Buehnen along with Sean Salisbury. It is our distinct honor and pleasure to welcome in now one of the icons in our industry, the great Larry King. Larry, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Thank you, guys. Good to be with you, Sean. Steve, happy to be here.
Always good to have you.
We've got so many great things to talk about. I just in thinking about your career and everything you've accomplished, take me back, if you would, to your first broadcasting job. We've all got stories in the business if we've been around. What do you remember about your first gig in this industry?
Oh, well, first, it's everything I ever wanted. Since I was 5 years old, I wanted to be a broadcaster. My father died when I was 9. I never went to college. After high school, I had a bunch of odd jobs, and finally someone recommended I go down to Miami. I was 23 years old and knocked around. At age 23, I got a job at a small radio station called WAHR, and on May 1st, 1957, and that is 59 years ago, I went on the air. And I got my new name that day. My name was Larry Zeiger. The general manager gave me the name 5 minutes before I went on the air.
Really?
Yeah, I legally changed it a year later. I was stumbling around, and I finally told the audience the truth, that it was my first day, that I was just given my name. I was scared, but I was never nervous again, because I learned that day, if you're honest with your audience, you can't go wrong. And then a year later, I broke into television. And if I make it to next May 1st, 2017, I'll be on the air 60 years.
That's a good run.
And it's been an unbelievable run, Larry. I'm curious.
I tell you the truth, I pinch myself every day. I had no idea that I'd ever write 16 books or be in 25 movies or still be on the air on the Internet, on Hulu, still be giving speeches. I'm 82 years old. I had no idea that my father died when he was 46. So I count every day a blessing. I can't believe everything that's happened to me. I mean, I knew I had talent, but you need a lot of luck. You need people to like you. You need breaks in this business. It's a subjective business. You always need management to like you. If they don't like you, you're not hired. And you just keep on keeping on. I've just been fortunate enough to be insatiably curious. Sports has always been my number one avocation. That is, I thought I'd be a sports announcer. I did Dolphin football for years. I did the color for the Miami Dolphins on the Dolphin Radio Network. I did the undefeated season. I sat in, did some play-by-play baseball. I did in-between hockey for the Washington Capitals. And so sports has always been a unique part of my life.
Larry, I'm curious. I know you've interviewed presidents. You've interviewed everybody, the best athletes. Where did you learn the technique, or how did you learn? Because it's brilliant to get these guys to tell you stuff they don't tell anybody else.
I'll tell you something. I don't really know. I was always curious. I can remember being a kid, 9 years old. I'd get on a bus and ask the bus driver why he wanted to drive a bus. My friends and I, we'd go to Ebbets Field, watch Dodger games. We'd go to Madison Square Garden, watch college basketball and the Knicks. We'd go to the Polo Grounds and watch the New York Giants football. But my friends would want autographs. I never wanted autographs. I would wait outside the stadium or the arena and ask questions. Why'd you do this? Why'd you bunt? Why'd you sacrifice fly? How did you cover on that interception? I was just insatiably curious. And since I was always rushed, these athletes coming out, I would ask short questions. So I continue to do that. I have always asked short questions. If you turned on any of my shows, television or radio, 90% of the time the guest would be talking.
Amen.
And if the host is talking, it's a bad show. And so I have a motto all these years, is that I never learned anything when I was talking. So if you keep that as a motto as a broadcaster, if you're doing interview shows, if your motto is, I never learned anything when I was talking, then you want the guest to talk because you want to learn. So you make good eye contact. And if you're sincere about the question, I am sincerely curious. I ain't faking it. When I ask a question, I'm sincerely curious about the answer, about listening to the answer, about following up on the answer. And I'm still that way. I'm the same as when I was 22 years old. I'm that way right now, today.
We're joined by the legendary Larry King on Prime Cut Yahoo Sports Radio, Steve Buhnen, Sean Salisbury. And I saw you tweeted yesterday about you're watching the O.J. Simpson miniseries.
Yeah.
And it is funny because for all you had accomplished, I think that even catapulted you into a new world. Greta Van Susteren. There were just so many things that flashback for me. For you, when you go back to that time, the early 90s, what did O.J. Simpson and that whole situation mean to you?
It changed my life in many regards. I mean, certainly... Ross Perot changed my life in that we had 20 million viewers the night he debated Al Gore. He announced his presidency on my show, so I was well known. But the Simpson trial brought me to L.A. I lived in Washington. I met my wife. I knew all the players. I knew O.J. very well. I knew the prosecution. I knew the judge. I knew the people sitting in the audience. I knew the writers covering it. I was around it every day. Before I met my wife, I dated the jury consultant for O.J. and the press secretary for Garcetti. I was living in a whirl. I was sending messages to O.J. I was finding out what the prosecution was planning. We did panel shows every day. I had the former governor of Pennsylvania, Dick Thornberry, on. He was on every other day. It was insane. And then getting back 20 years later to do this show, I'm the only one on the show playing himself. When they called me and they gave me that wig, they had a fitted wig because I had more hair 20 years ago, and they got my old glasses that I was wearing and got me prescriptions for them, and I'm in, I think, 7 different scenes. They've already run 3, and it's a great show.
Wow.
By the way, they've done an incredible job. The acting is pin perfect. The setting, the music, the whole setup, the directors, 2 directors are terrific, Murphy and Hemingway. Great working with them. The set they built for me, I'm pretty sure, cost more than CNN spent on the set. I mean, I'm just in
all those little
scenes,
light bulbs.
And they're doing a terrific job. And to relive it, and also the numbers they're getting, they're the leading show on television. Every Tuesday night, they sweep the numbers. And you would think that, like, for example, if you're 20 or 21 years old, you don't remember that trial. So why are young people watching it?
The intrigue and the people that are putting on. Let me ask you this. Like you said, you had a long-term relationship. You saw O.J. at his best.
Yeah.
And O.J. at his worst. I don't know if you've ever been asked this or if you've given an opinion. How hard was that on you, seeing him go through that, and what's your opinion of it?
The hardest part for me was, and Sean, you played football.
Yep.
It was the enigma that O.J. is. For example, it's 2 O.J.s. I have never seen O.J.'s temper. He was captain of every team he ever played on. He was captain of his high school team. He was captain at USC. He was captain of the Buffalo Bills. He never got into an argument with an official. His teammates came to him for advice. He was there more than their captain. If they had personal problems, they would come to O.J. O.J. never raised his voice. His secretary said she never saw him angry. The people who worked with him on the Hertz commercials, they would do those commercials all night long. They'd get an airport that no flights were coming in like at 1 o'clock, and that's where he'd run through the airport to get his car. He never complained. They would do a scene 30 times. He never raised his voice. So what happened that night had to be a combination of cocaine, and now they're even talking about CTE. Did he have brain damage? You know, he knocked around a lot, tackled a lot. His head hit the ground a lot.
Larry, we've got about 30 seconds left. I'll beg your brevity. Sorry. We're on a hard break.
That might have been the problem, that O.J. was sicker than we thought,
right?
Because he's an enigma. There are 2 O.J.s.
I wish, Larry, I wish we could keep you for about
13
seconds.
Can we keep you for 3 hours?
Anytime so we can you listen. Want. Call me back, and we can schedule an hour one day.
Oh, that'd be terrific.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Say that again?
You got it. Call me back. We'll do an hour.
I promise you, you're going to get a call back immediately. Larry, thank you.
Okay.
You're the best,
thanks,
my friend.
Guys.
The legendary Larry King joining us. Thanks to Progressive. Comparing rates to help you save. Now, that's Progressive. And we're going to take him up on that offer.
Dude, call now.
Call now. Operators are standing
by. How about Mike Pearson, our senior executive boss, producer, everything?
Word.
Ed.
Larry King just killed it on our show.
An hour. And we're going to milk that. We're getting that hour. Free hour.